Brown Girl Radiance celebrates the brilliance of women of color through reflective conversations and stories. I'm your host, Pure Brown Joy. On this episode of Brown Girl Radiance, I had the opportunity to sit down with a few of my sisters to discuss the standard of beauty presented by the women of Wakanda. We had fun and candid conversations about the diverse natural hairstyles, the bold, distinctive fashion, the rich hues of brown skin, and the captivating images and impact of the bald heads. The signature look of the Dora Milaje, the protective agency of Wakanda, who demonstrated that bald truly is beautiful. As we jump into our conversation today, I wanted to give a little bit of background about the voices of some of the women that you will be hearing today. The first woman is actually a voice that you might recognize from our first episode of Brown Girl Radiance. Wakanda Sister number 2 will be back today. We also have Margot, who is a dear friend of mine, who is a major health enthusiast, and she actually was a part of the historical Universal Circus. She rode elephants, and she actually still rides elephants. So if that's not Brown Girl Radiance, I don't know what is. I also have my local Shuri, real life Shuri, my friend Ivy, who is an engineer and is also a fashion icon in her own right. Another dear friend, Khalifa, who is truly just the epitome of being a phenomenal woman. Like that poem by Maya Angelou, she's just full of sage wisdom and is really just has a beautiful spirit. And then last but not least, my friend Kanithia, who has a strong passion for mentoring young women. And she's actually also one of the people who I was sitting next to when I saw Black Panther for the first time. We were both blessed to be a part of a special screening, and so we'll always have that connection. As we start this conversation, I wanted to do a style refresher for each character. First, you have Shuri, played by Letitia Wright, who wore futuristic, metallic, athletic, casual prints and patterns. And her hair was in braids and slightly shaved in the back. Next, you have the Queen Mother, or Queen Ramonda, played by Angela Bassett, who wore traditional African-inspired, rich, formal fabrics and styles with elaborate crowns. And her hair was in silver locks. Also, you have Nakia, played by Lupita Nyong'o, who wore tailored, fashionable, minimalist, modern styles with emerald tones to represent the River Tribe, and her hair was in Bantu knots as well as in twist-out styles. And finally, we have Okoye, played by Danai Gurira, who wore athletic silhouettes and rich red tones, whether she was in a red dress or her armor as the general for the Dora Milaje. She also wore a lot of gold accents. Her hairstyle is the iconic bald head with a tattoo that signifies that she is a member of the Dora Milaje. The first question that I ask these ladies is, which images or dimensions of beauty exhibited by the women of Wakanda did you find most impactful and why?
For me, the first one was just the bald heads. Like, that's everything. Because in so many cultures, including our culture, yes, hair is celebrated, hair is cursed, hair is everything. There's so much emotion tied to hair, and it, yes, it becomes its own entity.
Yes.
And for a woman to shave her head and just say, I am enough outside of my hair,
right,
I'm not defined by my hair,
right,
was amazing. And then, and it, it added to the fierceness of her look, as well as the fierceness of her character and the role that she's playing as, you know, being the head of a protective service. So I love that. And I even shared that with a friend of mine who has lost her hair. She's mm-hmm. not a woman of color. But it was really great to be able to, she's Caucasian and she lost her hair due to chemo. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, I Googled bald women and most of them were black and they like, oh, beautiful bald women, I think is what I Googled. And most of them were black. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's pretty interesting that we are able to not be defined by our hair, as although we obsess about it more than any group of women on the planet.
Right.
But I just love that in the film that was my first, I guess, takeaway in terms of beauty in the film was just the baldness and having it be glorified and having it be beautiful.
All the women looked amazing. Yes, and they were absolutely. All beautiful.
Absolutely.
And I think what was most impactful for me is the bald head, which
nice.
Is
yes. Okoye.
Okoye. But I think as black women, our hair is always in the forefront of our
Absolutely.
Thoughts.
Yes.
When we're doing anything.
Absolutely.
Oh, I can't work out because of my hair. I can't go out. It's raining.
Yes.
My hair. What am I going to do with my hair? Oh, I can't swim. I can't do this because of my hair. So it's always something that's under consideration. And I think when you're bald, it's completely freeing. She doesn't have to worry about anything. Now, what is... It may be a little bit jarring mm-hmm. to, you know, those of us that are not used to seeing women with bald heads, but I think that's why it's very impactful.
I'm always excited to see positive role models being seen, especially on the big screen. So watching Black Panther, seeing so many shades of brown throughout the movie and seeing how strong we are.
Yes.
And sometimes you Absolutely. Kind of forget how strong we are. So being able to see that on the big screen and seeing how much it impacted everybody all around, I mean, it's going to be talked about for a long time.
I noticed this summer, Danai Gurira, who plays Okoye, she has been on the cover. She's on the cover of Ebony, and she's on the cover of Women's Health. Her arms are, like, ripped. So I think, you know, definitely presenting those images helps us to be able to, like, celebrate ourselves. The mainstream media, especially movies, usually doesn't celebrate brown girls in the same way that we saw them
definitely,
celebrated in this
definitely.
Movie. So,
and it's not forgotten. I think we kind of push ourselves on the back burner mm-hmm. and we start weaving ourselves into what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yes.
when you see this, you're like, oh, wait a minute. To see that, it just like reawakens that strength that
yes.
you already have.
Yes, I like that. Reawakening.
Why?
So when I read this question, I had to take a step back because the movie was just so powerful, you know, the essence of it, everything. So as I reflected on this question, I think it was the array of brown skin tones throughout the movie that really impacted me. So aside from the bald head, I know that was like the first visual
yes.
that all of us probably, you know, gravitated to, but it was the skin tones and the beauty of a lot of dark-skinned toned individuals. So I liked that that was depicted. I think that that was most impactful, I think, even for my son.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stood out
mm-hmm.
for him. And just the essence of, you know, our black is beautiful. So that was probably the most profound image for me in the movie.
You know, I really have to give a lot of credit to Ruth Carter,
yes.
who was the costume designer
yes,
for this
absolutely.
Film. I am a huge fan of Ruth, and one of the things I remember her recently saying in an interview is, you know, I've got this great accomplishment going. I've
right.
Been able to come in and design for this movie that's been wildly successful.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, now it's time for me to get some other people in here that look like me. There's not a lot of women of color in the costume design industry. And I think that's so very important. You know, our achievements and our accomplishments aren't just for us, but it's all about finding how those things align with your purpose so you can go back and help somebody else. And now look at this incredible movie with a Black director, Ryan Coogler, and Black major characters. Yes. It really is inspirational to see, yes, you can be and do anything you want.
So it's just Black excellence all around. Another thing that I love about, you know, Ruth Carter and in terms of her costume design and in this film, how she took inspiration from like different nations within Africa.
Absolutely.
So that everyone kind of got to see a piece of themselves.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important to see that you are represented on the screen and just in general.
Another person who I love who has that same mindset, actually, Ava DuVernay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do an episode in the future, Brown Girl Radiance, about Ava and just the way that she always likes to bring, actually, not just other brown women, but women in general. Like on Queen Sugar, she uses all female directors and things like that. So great point.
Next, I asked, in what ways would you like to see the Wakandan standard of beauty influence our culture in terms of the way that women of color see themselves and also how the broader culture sees us?
We should be who we are and very unapologetic about it.
Yes.
As far as the way that they had on their African garb, the way that they wore their hair, I think that in a lot of instances, we are kind of forced to conform.
Yes.
And, you know, seeing them on the screen, on the big screen, and how they just had, you know, the locked hair and the gorgeous African garbs that meant something. I think we should be... We shouldn't be afraid to express our blackness in our clothing, in our hair, and, you know, all of those different things. Well, yeah, and another thing that all of the women were brown-skinned sisters.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
There was no doubting, like, these were black women.
Right.
And so that was definitely refreshing to see.
Thinking about the standard of beauty set forth by the women of Wakanda, for me, it was personally impactful because I grew up in the South, in Nashville, Tennessee. And growing up, I can say that brown skin was definitely not something that I saw celebrated. And I know that, of course, comes from the history of slavery there. So, you know, so lighter skin was, I was always told growing up, was more beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as an adult, I'm able to just like see it as all being beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen brown women being celebrated in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, being leads who were celebrated in this way. I was just thinking the other night, like, I was like, what other movies have I seen that, you know, even had, like, you know,
maybe
a brown girl in
purple.
Them? Yeah, you know, it has been definitely refreshing for me. If I had seen this movie when I was, like, 10, it would have been life-changing.
Yeah.
You know, but at that time, those just weren't the images that we had. Like, I feel like I see myself differently, which is interesting to say because I'm an adult now, but really I do see myself differently because of these images of beauty that were presented in Black Panther. So
yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's so important for Black stories to be told so that we can see the diaspora.
Yes.
Because it does, all these images, wherever they may be found, whatever the platform, do influence our thinking, whether we're children or adults.
We as women of color, and women in general, but definitely women of color, should embrace our uniqueness. You know, we are, whether it's our noses or our lips or our hips or the texture of our hair, you know, I just think we should be more confident and our uniqueness, and then, and not so much of what the stereotypes are or trying to look a certain way, westernized, if you will.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I just feel like we should embrace our individuality.
Each woman shared stories about their natural hair journey and how they were impacted by seeing the natural hair on display by the women of Wakanda.
I've been natural for years, like even before it was a thing to be natural. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that women are starting to embrace their natural culture and their natural hair. And you're starting to see it more commercialized now, which is a good thing, which means people are getting used to it. Because I will say, when I started the company I currently work for, it was in the forefront of my mind. I was natural. And I said, well, I better straighten my hair before I go on this interview because I don't want any preconceived notions about, you know, oh, she's wearing cornrows, she has locks, she has this. In all honesty, straight hair has always been the image of beauty. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we are starting to see more women with natural hair is an amazing thing. So
yeah, no, absolutely. Actually, so, you know, speaking of the company that you referenced, I remember when I first started as well, I think because I had been in my like natural hair journey at that point, probably around 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so I was very like proud and everything. Mm-hmm. And I remember an executive who was African-American, actually African-American male, great, great leader, pulling me aside essentially and telling me that they felt that when I wore my hair out, it was too wild, was actually the term that they used, and that they did not want me to be known, like, by my hair is essentially what their point was. And you know, I did understand what they meant by that, and I just remember for a long time in my career, I started wearing it, like, very much in like a slick back mm-hmm. ponytail, just, you know, mm-hmm. super conservative. I feel like nothing is more conservative than like slick back right. ponytail right. or, exactly. or like you said, like straight hair. Those, for whatever reasons, those are images that are portrayed mm-hmm. as most acceptable. But as you mentioned, I do think that the company has become a little more progressive. And like now I feel like for the most part, I'll put it this way, depending on what meetings or departments or mm-hmm. or whatever I'm working for, what the event might be, I still sometimes feel like that need to do the slick back to be conservative. But in terms of my day to day, I feel mm-hmm. like I am able to, you know, kind of be myself a little bit more and wear it out more.
Yeah, I think that the more that you see it,
yes,
and the more women that you see
yes.
having braids,
absolutely.
The more it doesn't feel like it's something that is so different.
I run with a running group called Black Girls Run, and we were having our monthly group run, and I was walking with one of my girlfriends, and she was going on talking about, we were talking about Black Panther and just all kinds of sorts of things, and then she had recently shaved her head. And of course, I was thinking, okay, yeah, she shaved her head. She's, you know, Wakanda, go girl. And she was like, well, actually, that's not the reason. She has alopecia. And she went for many years wearing wigs and weaves and glue and this and that, hats, everything. So she had to wear, had to keep that look. Mm-hmm. But after doing steroids, it caused an indentation in her head. Mm-hmm. And she was just tired of it. So when she saw Black Panther, that just gave her the power. It really empowered her to just go ahead and shave her head, shave the side that was already, I mean, it was one patch that was missing, but she just shaved it all the way to just even it out. And she wears it like a faux hawk, and it looks crazy cool. And she's just, if you could feel the energy that she has now that she's just free, she looks like a rock star. And then, of course, when she posted her pictures on Facebook, mm-hmm. everybody's like, oh my God, it looks so cool. They didn't know the backstory of it. They just think, oh wow, she's, you know, rocking it out.
Even when you talk about like posting on social media and stuff like that, and just those images that we see, I think you make a good point, which is a lot of times you don't know that backstory. And I think as, you know, women of color, oftentimes we are great at kind of projecting that image of strength. Which I think is a part of our beauty, but you know, when you hear like how she actually got to that place, I think it just, you know, again, speaks to our culture and how we are always like rising above whatever challenge that we face. Really.